Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you again for another episode of The Best Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. You can find us at truthought.org, truthought.org, our spiritual center website. You can join our mailing list there, and our workbook lessons are posted there, as well as other content and videos of inspirational messages and so forth. You can also find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery, or you can just do a search for The Best Hour. Today, we're going to be discussing Lesson 39. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you here. The lesson today is My Holiness is My Salvation. Before we begin, let's take a good deep breath. Let's join together in a moment of silence. My holiness is my salvation. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? Like the text for which this workbook was written, the ideas which are used for the exercises are very simple, very clear, and totally unambiguous. We are not concerned with intellectual feats nor logical toys. We're dealing only in the very obvious, which has been overlooked in the clouds of complexity in which you think.
Mm-hmm. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? This is not difficult, surely. The hesitation you may feel in answering is not due to the ambiguity of the question. But do you believe that guilt is hell? If you did, you would see at once how direct and simple the text is, and you would not need a workbook at all. No one needs practice to gain what is already his.
We have already said that your holiness is the salvation of the world. What about your own salvation? You cannot give what you do not have. A savior must be saved. How else can he teach salvation? Today's exercises will apply to you alone, recognizing that your salvation is crucial to the salvation of the world. As you apply the exercises to your own world, the whole world stands to benefit.
Your holiness is the answer to every question that was ever asked, is being asked now, or will be asked in the future. Your holiness means the end of guilt and therefore the end of hell. Your holiness is the salvation of the world and your own. How could you, to whom your holiness belongs, be excluded from it? God does not know unholiness. Can it be God does not know his child?
A full 5 minutes are urged for the four longer practice periods for today. Longer and more frequent practice sessions are encouraged. If you want to exceed the minimum requirements, more rather than longer sessions are recommended, although both are encouraged.
Begin the practice periods as usual by repeating today's idea to yourself. Then, with closed eyes, search out your unloving thoughts in whatever form they appear. Uneasiness, depression, anger, fear, worry, attack, insecurity, and so on. Whatever form they take, they are unloving and therefore fearful. And so it is from them that you need to be saved.
Specific situations, events, or personalities that you associate with unloving thoughts of any kind are suitable subjects for today's exercises. It's imperative for your own salvation that you see them differently. And it's your blessing on them that will save you and give you vision.
Slowly, without conscious selection and without undue emphasis on anyone in particular, search your mind for every thought that stands between you and your salvation. Apply the idea for today to each one of them in this way. My unloving thoughts about blank are keeping me in hell. My holiness is my salvation.
You may find these sessions easier if you interpose the applications with several short periods during which you merely repeat today's idea to yourself slowly a few times. You may also find it helpful to include a few short intervals in which you just relax and don't seem to be thinking of anything. Sustained concentration is very difficult at first. It'll become much easier as your mind becomes more disciplined and less distractible.
Meanwhile, you should feel free to introduce variety into your practice periods in whatever form appeals to you. Do not, however, change the idea itself in varying the method of applying it. However you elect to use it, the idea should be stated so that its meaning remains that your holiness is your salvation.
End each practice period by repeating the idea in its original form once more and adding, if guilt is hell, what is its opposite?
In the shorter applications, which should be made some 3 or 4 times an hour and more if possible, you may ask yourself this question, repeat today's idea, or preferably both. If temptations arise, a particularly helpful form of the idea is, my holiness is my salvation from this.
My holiness is my salvation. And so it is. Let's join together for another brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath now. Well, as we continue, more and more, we find that we're becoming a little hemmed in now and being asked to accept a truth that is very hard to accept. We've mentioned it often when we talk about perfection. We say you're perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. You're holy. You are as God created you to be. You are love. And when we start adding all these attributes and we start looking at ourselves through this vision of attributes, it becomes, from an egoic perspective, it becomes, hard to accept. Because we have these memory banks of things we've done, relationships we've been involved in, and activities that we were present for that we would judge ourselves very harshly for, and we judge others for as well. But guilt is the foundation for all judgment. From the egoic perspective, there's nothing else to be considered. It's all about guilt. Judgment is all about guilt. So if guilt is hell, what is its opposite? You may have already filled in the blank, but your perfect innocence is the truth. Your perfect innocence and the recognition of your perfect innocence is heaven. Knowing yourself as that is to be in a new state of mind. Knowing yourself as what you really are, who you really are, is to be in a different state of consciousness. So we refer to levels of consciousness, and we bring students through teachings with us to help us to be able to first see that there is a roadmap, a way that Jesus literally pointed to and said, here's the pathway. A pathway that he experienced, that he discovered through experience and enlightenment and self-realization are not things that we learn about. They're things that we experience. And so we have to unlearn the teachings of the world, the calamity of the mind of guilt that is hell. We have to unlearn it. We have to, you've heard the term, purify the mind of the thoughts of insanity that are telling us that we're something that we're not, that bring proof and validation that says, this is true. You're a body, your form, you're this, you're that, you're all the attributes of the human self, all the attributes of the ego mind. And the evidence is very compelling, no argument there. But that doesn't make it true. And we've stepped so far away from the truth of what we are that we have to make the effort to travel back to a connection with the consciousness that is our true self, that can begin to help us to have the experience of truth. It's not something we're learning. It is something we're beginning to experience. And holiness is an attribute of your perfection. Holiness is an attribute of God. You are an attribute of God. Your holiness is what our discussion's about. Your perfection and your innocence is what your holiness points to.
I love one of your teachings, Brother T, where you talk about being kids and, you know, mom and dad's in the house and you kids would go out back and put, a sheet over a clothesline and kind of pitch a tent and go outside and play and sometimes try to spend the night out there. And you use that illustration to explain guilt, you know, that the kids become afraid and they want to go home and mom and dad are just right there looking out the window, watching over you. But once you become afraid, then you feel guilty for having left home and you're afraid to go home. Mm. And that to me is hell. And that to me describes guilt. And so to use different terms, the idea of original sin, if you will, isn't that we were born with original sin. The idea of original sin to me is just the mistaken belief that we could be separate from God and that we that tiny mad idea that is discussed in the Course of Miracles text, the tiny mad idea that we're going to, you know, be our own authority and go off and do our own thing. And in so doing, we made a world that is frightening because it was projecting out our own fear. And we then become afraid of God or home or heaven. And so we think that we have to figure it out on our own and stay out in that backyard in that tent, you know, trying to make ourselves right so that we can go home. And so, you know, that to me is the idea of guilt, that we project our guilt of having this idea of separation from source onto one another, and we've forgotten that the guilt is our own. It has nothing to do with our brother or sister. It has to do with our own perceived separation from source. This lesson always tripped me up. And I think it's really funny because I always felt like it was a trick question. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? And I remember I would come to you and I would say, why doesn't it just say what the opposite is? Why is it just, and in this whole lesson, it doesn't really talk about innocence, but it does talk about holiness. And
which are one and the same.
Right. And it always reminds me of a t-shirt a former spouse used to wear that all it said in big letters was not guilty. And he loved that t-shirt. And I always thought, you know, what a great t-shirt. You know, what a great statement. It's like for all of us, you know, that we're just not guilty. And it's that sense of guilt, that sense of, oh boy, we did something wrong and mom and dad are mad at us and so we can't go back home, that has led to all of the fearful expressions of uneasiness, depression, anger, fear, worry, attack, insecurity, and so on that's listed in this lesson. So we can't give what we don't have. We must accept our own innocence and holiness, and that this is our salvation. It reminds me again of being the channel. You can't be a channel for what you aren't or what you claim not to be, that you hold separate. And even the idea channel, I prefer what we like to talk about in ascension is is actually extension, extending that which we are. And so when we accept our own holiness, when we recognize, and what is recognition? Recognition is to remember again our innate divinity, remember again our source, remember again what we are. And when we recognize that as whole, as holiness, as innocence, then so this whole text so far, the whole lesson so far has been dealing with perception. When we shift our perception about who and what we are, then we project and see the world differently. And then that's our salvation. And so it begins within, it begins with ourselves. We don't go out and fix the world. We begin right where we are. And my holiness is my salvation. It's not complicated. And we don't need to make it difficult. We just practice the lessons. My unloving thoughts about whatever keep me in hell. And my holiness is my salvation. So the unloving thoughts are what are creating our fear and our guilt.
I just want to point out that a couple of attributes that he's shared with us here that you talked about, unloving thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it in recent discussions, and worry was one of the words that is in that list of attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how worrying about somebody is actually an attack,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're seeing them in a place of harm, or you're seeing them in a place of dis-ease, you know, whatever. You're projecting a future,
mm-hmm.
holding a vision. And we're learning more and more about how powerful the mind is now, as we begin to realize thoughts are things. We're bringing back to our awareness how powerful we really are,
mm-hmm.
and that the reason we need to be mindful and practice mindfulness and watch our thoughts, which these exercises are helping us to do, is to see how we are misled by the thoughts that keep playing again and again and again in our programming and our unconscious conditioning and surface and bubble our reaction and response to whatever is going on in the world.
Mm.
So I'm just wanted to point out that, you know, depression, you don't think of depression as an attack, but it is an attack. It's an unloving thought about yourself. Anger is a self-attack. Fear is a self-attack. Worry is a self-attack. Attack is a self-attack. Insecurity is a self-attack, and so on. Whatever form they take, they're unloving thoughts because they're coming from a mind that's unloving. But instead of fixing it, which is what the world has always taught me earlier in my life, was you fix you, fix your behavior, fix your thinking, you know, purify your mind of thoughts, you know. And I would look at an attractive woman and think, oh, well, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner because I'm thinking she's sexually attractive.
Mm.
Those are thoughts that are unloving,
mm-hmm.
really, to condemn ourselves, mm-hmm. to find beauty in God's creation. You know, that's wrong. That everything we do in the world is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some level, we can point to the world is just in a circle of continuous self-recrimination.
Mm-hmm.
These lessons are freeing us because they're helping us to see that that's not what we are. That's not who we are. And that no longer deserves our energy to try to fix it because it's not real.
Right.
It's not like, it's like trying to go back in my dream tonight and make my dream better that I had last night.
Yeah.
How ridiculous. It was just a dream.
Yeah.
So this lesson, and just pointing out these attributes of unloving thoughts, it helps us to see. And to purify our mind isn't to not have unloving thoughts. It's to quit giving our awareness to those unloving thoughts as having value.
Right. And I think, you know, somebody like myself can get really doing these lessons can also, there can be a slippery slope if you're very hard on yourself where you can think, oh my God, look at all these unloving thoughts I have. I'm a piece of you know, shit that has all these unloving thoughts, and you can actually, I don't know. I've had that experience before where then I think, gosh, I'm just so terrible. But that's not the point of this. It's not to take this seriously. It's just to allow all of these unloving thoughts that might be lingering, just to let them bubble up, to let them go, and to let them dissolve into the holiness that you are and that we are. And so there can be, as you were speaking, I had the thought of just, you know, not taking it so seriously. Mm-hmm. It's our seriousness that locks it in, mm-hmm. and makes it real. Yep. We are not to take this seriously. We're to just allow it to be revealed for what it is, which is nothing, and to let it go. Oh, silly me, I've had these unloving thoughts. Gee, look at how that has kept me in hell. Oh, silly me, I can change my mind. I can change my focus and perception, that there can be a lightness. There's something in the Way of Mastery that speaks of this, you know, that, oh gosh, I had this terrible thought where, you know, somebody reached over and took a French fry off my plate and I wanted to like slap their hand or something.
Stab them or something.
Yeah. And it's like, and to like just watch that urge or that thought just like rise and pass. It's our attachment. It's the guilt that we lay on it that marries it to us. And so it's our innocence when we can laugh at ourselves and say, oh, what a silly human I am. I got mad that they, you know, here, have all my French fries. Like, it's no big deal. Lighten up,
yeah.
You know, which means lighten up in that levity of bringing lightness to the seriousness with which we hold ourselves.
Mm, well said.
Yeah.
Really well said. Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
This is a fun conversation.
It is today. A fun conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you, Mighty Companion, for being with us. God bless you. We love you. Stay the course. We will return.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send